This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, September 15th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. The trial of Trevor Milton, the founder of electric vehicle company Nikola, got underway in New York this week. Milton faces four charges for allegedly lying to public investors about Nikola's tech in order to enrich himself. He's pleaded not guilty, and his defense team says it's just a case of reading too much into the ambitions of a startup founder. On today's show, our reporter Ben Foldy joins us to discuss how each side is laying out their case and what the trial could mean for startups going public. That's after these headlines. A lot of news out this morning, starting with Amazon. California is suing the e-commerce giant, alleging its contracts with third-party sellers and wholesalers stifle competition. The state claims Amazon's policies prevent merchants from listing products for lower prices on competing websites, harming sellers and buyers. California Attorney General Rob Bonta announced the antitrust charges at a press conference on Wednesday.
We are sending a message not only to Amazon, but to every corporation in the country. If you use your power to illegally bend the market at the expense of California consumers, small business owners, and the economy, we'll see you in court.
An Amazon spokesman said sellers determine what prices they offer on its website and that the company hoped a California judge would reach the same conclusion as a judge in the District of Columbia who dismissed a similar case in March. The AG's lawsuit comes as Amazon is facing another labor union challenge. The company says workers at a facility outside Albany, New York, will vote on whether to unionize in mid-October. Workers affiliated with the Amazon Labor Union, the group that successfully organized a warehouse in Staten Island, have pushed for the election. We report exclusively that SoftBank is considering launching a new startup investment fund, Vision Fund 3, as it tries to move past the poor performance of its two earlier funds. SoftBank has been the world's biggest startup investor by far for years, but its first Vision Fund was hurt by bad bets on startups like WeWork and Didi, and its Vision Fund 2 suffered after doubling down on newly public companies just before the stock markets cooled. Our finance reporter, Elliot Brown, spoke with people familiar with the discussions, who say the next Vision Fund would likely be set up to better compensate the firm's staff.
So basically, the way that the people on the Vision Fund staff are paid is through profits. And the Vision Fund 2 is very much not profitable. It's losing a lot of money. So by starting a new fund, which actually would just be funded by SoftBank, it would sort of be a way to reset the staff and allow them to have profits in greater reach and not have to be working to climb out of this hole to see any profits.
You can hear more from Elliot on this morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News? Another WSJ scoop, Tesla is pausing plans to build electric vehicle batteries in Germany. Sources say the company is instead looking to make them in the U.S. That could allow Tesla to qualify for new tax credits that were passed under the Federal Inflation Reduction Act, signed into law last month. Tesla didn't respond to a request for comment. In Europe, Google has lost most of its appeal against a more than $4 billion antitrust ruling. In 2018, the EU's competition watchdog fined Google for using its Android operating system to entrench its search engine and Chrome web browser on mobile devices. The penalty is the biggest antitrust fine Google has ever faced. And our senior European tech reporter Sam Schechner says upholding it is a victory for the EU regulators who've been taking action to rein in big tech.
Because of this decision, they're going to feel, I think, more comforted to go forward with other cases that they have pending against big companies, including a formal investigation into Google's ad tech business, but also other cases that they've been pursuing involving companies including Apple and Meta.
Since 2018, Google has begun offering Android users in the EU a choice of search engines. And the court did annul one element of the penalty, bringing the fine down by 5%. A spokesman for Google said the company was disappointed the decision wasn't thrown out entirely. It's not the only fine Google is facing, though. The search giant and Facebook parent Meta have been handed in total the equivalent of more than $70 million in fines by South Korea. Regulators there say the companies collected and used personal information for targeted advertising and other purposes without getting users' consent. Both companies say they disagree with regulators' findings. Also in South Korea, the government there has issued an arrest warrant for Do Kwon, the developer behind the collapsed stablecoin Terra USD. Kwon and the company he founded have faced scrutiny since its two cryptocurrencies, Terra and Luna, crashed earlier this year, wiping out billions of dollars worth of savings in days. Kwon didn't respond to a request for comment. A spokesman for his company, Terraform Labs, declined to comment. And Chinese video game giant Tencent has won its first license for a new title in more than a year. As we've talked about on the show before, investors have been concerned about Tencent and other video game developers' financial future as Beijing cracks down on big tech and the amount of time young people spend gaming in China. All right, coming up, in the trial of Nikola's Trevor Milton, is it a case of a founder being too excited about his company's prospects or fraud? We'll discuss the case and what's at stake for the wider industry after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
As a founder, Trevor Milton was known for making bold statements and displaying a charisma that inspired employees and attracted investors. When it came to promoting his electric truck startup Nikola, he went on podcasts and news shows, making big claims about its hydrogen trucks and the fueling stations that would support them. The company brought in a lot of funding, and when it went public in 2020, retail investors flocked to it, raising its valuation from $3.3 billion to $30 billion. But now, Milton is on trial, accused of lying about Nikola's technological capabilities to enrich himself. He left the company in 2020. Milton faces two counts of wire fraud and two counts of securities fraud, with the possibility of 25 years in prison. He's pleaded not guilty. Beyond what it could mean for Milton and Nikola, the case could have ripple effects for other young pre-IPO companies looking to get investors excited about their future. Here to talk about the trial and those potential impacts is WSJ reporter Ben Foldy. Hi, Ben. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So prosecutors allege that Trevor Milton made these big promises and misled investors about the technology Nikola had developed. Can you tell us a bit more about what those allegations are and how they came about?
Yeah, so the allegations came after a short seller, Hindenburg Research, and some whistleblowers put out a report alleging that Trevor Milton had made all kinds of misrepresentations about the company. And one of the U.S. attorneys, when they first unveiled these charges, said Trevor Milton lied about basically every element of the business. And in their opening statements, the prosecutors said Mr. Milton had lied about the technology that the company had built, namely kind of this early prototype truck, which he had said, you know, was fully built, fully functional. And whistleblowers and prosecutors alleged that no, it wasn't, never drove anywhere under its own power and was rolled down a hill for a promotional video. That Mr. Milton misrepresented the production of the fuel. There were a couple times where he'd said, you know, Nikola was making hydrogen at $4 a kilogram, which not only was that kind of a unprecedentedly cheap price for producing hydrogen, but Nikola had not produced any hydrogen at any price at that point. They also kind of focused on representations Trevor Milton made about the quality and amount of the contracts and orders they had for the trucks in the future. And the last thing that they sound like they're going to focus on in this trial is a pickup truck called the Badger that was a big kind of motor for Nikola's big stock jump in June of 2020, but prosecutors allege barely existed beyond some very basic kind of preliminary steps towards it.
What do we know about the defense's strategy?
Yeah, so Tuesday was the first day that we really got a look at it. There were a few arguments kind of running in parallel. One was that the government's case is based on distortion. And they said kind of distortion of context, distortion of the words, cherry picking of claims. They also made the argument that it's not enough to have misstatements. You have to have intent, essentially, and that Trevor had not intentionally deceived and misled. They also pointed the finger at other Nikola executives. According to them, Trevor was part of Nikola's promotion, was kind of pushed to go out there by Nikola executives and not stopped when he talked and, you know, made some of these representations. So there was kind of a, you know, why isn't everybody else at Nikola also being held accountable for this? And then there was also an element of questioning the motives of everybody who would be called to testify against Mr. Milton. We got a taste of that. One of the witnesses who, you know, acted as a whistleblower, has a financial incentive under the SEC's whistleblower program and also participated in shorting the stock at one point. So it seems like, you know, the defense is keen to point out that people testifying against Milton have an interest in doing so. They took kind of an interesting tack at the end of their opening statement. Trevor Milton's lawyer compared Trevor Milton talking about Nikola as like a parent talking about a child and said, you know, if a parent looks at a five-year-old and says that kid is going to Harvard, nobody takes him seriously and thinks that that kid is actually going to Harvard at that moment. And said that Trevor was kind of talking in the same way about this kind of product of his labor and kind of a vision for the future.
Let's dive into one of those points you just mentioned. Trevor Milton, the founder and former leader of this company, is on trial. Why isn't the company itself part of this case?
I think if the defense has their way, the company will be a part of this case, looking as to kind of who in the room was trying to stop Trevor. Nikola did settle with the SEC and had an investigation into these allegations and paid $125 million. So I think Nikola, the company, did kind of pay its pound of flesh, so to speak. But even the defense themselves kind of pointed out was that Nikola and all of its disclosures, you know, these kind of reams and reams of financial documents would often kind of have a more hedged or careful or qualified version of some statement. And then Trevor would be the one on the podcast or on TV with the big boisterous claim.
Let's talk a bit about the people who did buy the Nikola stock, because a lot of them were novice investors, very excited about this company. Is that expected to be an important part of this trial at all?
I think for the prosecutors, it is. They really are trying to paint this as kind of like this was a stock promotion scam, for lack of a better word, that was aimed at retail investors. And one of the ways that they backed that up was by saying that, you know, Trevor Milton wasn't just, you know, on CNBC or just on earnings calls. He was tweeting. He was Instagram living. He was, you know, avowedly saying, I want to be the most open and accessible executive on social media. And so, according to the prosecution, that was kind of part of this larger fraud to drive the stock price up by appealing to retail investors and Robinhood traders and the like.
Nikola went public via a special purpose acquisition company, sometimes called a blank check company. A lot of other green vehicle companies went public kind of the same way, around the same time, with also big promises. Does the fallout from Nikola have any impact on them, on how investors or maybe regulators are looking at them?
I think Nikola was kind of the first big SPAC success in the space, and also the first big catastrophic blow up in the space, and not the last of either of those. You know, when Nikola went public in June of 2020, it soared in its first week and was briefly worth more than Ford Motor Company without having any revenue to speak of. And that kind of showed a lot of companies, I think, that there was a easier and quicker way of going public pre-revenue in a lot of cases, and that the market had an appetite for those kinds of deals at that moment and really kind of drove valuations up for a while. So Nikola was the first of those to kind of come back to earth with these allegations that started coming out in June but didn't really get traction until September. And then in the time since, a lot of the other EV companies that have SPAC'd have disclosed SEC investigations or Department of Justice investigations. They've been hit by short sellers, you know, even the same short sellers in some cases. And the sector is really kind of, you know, it's not just one Icarus. It's been a bunch of Icari, I guess. Nikola was kind of the poster child, but the whole sector has been kind of racked with these issues.
All right. That's our reporter, Ben Foldy. Thanks so much for joining us, Ben.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. For more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please leave us a 5-star review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.